This is the San Francisco Experience with your host, Jim Herlihy. Season 7, Episode 5. From Side Hustle to Startup, a How-To Guide. Ed Rocha gives us a roadmap to build a business. During the last 12 months of economic lockdown, so many small businesses have gone bust as COVID has forced us to stay home. But at the same time, many new businesses have taken flight to meet the needs of homebound customers. Some existing enterprises have adopted online models and flourished. Others have taken an idea, a pastime, a hobby, or a side hustle and turned a concept into a profitable business to meet the needs of customers who are housebound. Serial entrepreneur Ed Rocha joins us today from his home in Boston to share his winning strategies to transform an idea into a viable, profitable business. And Ed practices what he preaches. He's created 3 successful companies from concept to revenue generators. He is both a business consultant and a life coach who works with men and women to make their entrepreneurial dreams a reality. A graduate of Harvard with a bachelor's in government and a master's in management science from Boston University, he takes your idea from theory to a practical working business. Today, he'll share with us the concrete steps a budding entrepreneur needs to take to transform the dream of owning your own business into a reality. Hello, Ed, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Jim. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Ed, could you take a moment and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your business background, the businesses that you founded, and the clients that you work with?
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jim, for that fantastic introduction. So super excited to be here. So I started my business career in hedge funds and private equity on the business development and investor relations side, and did that for about 7 years. And one of the things that I consider myself as a serial entrepreneur, and I, growing up and in college and even as I was working in hedge funds and finance, I always wanted to do something that was my own. And I always start with my first business that very much started off as a side hustle. So as I was working this hedge fund job in a suit and tie, my passion was actually teaching languages. So I would come out of the workday and tired and exhausted, and then rejuvenate as I would go teach Spanish or French to clients. And at some point, I realized that this side hustle was a viable business. I started that business with one classroom and one teacher in a 10 by 10 space. And I realized that, hey, I'm onto something. I have a system. I'm good at it. Why not give it a go? And I think I struggled for a few years, probably more than a few years actually, to overcome that fear of the financial loss that I would be experiencing leaving hedge funds and then going all in on my business. And I think that I made the step to go all in on my business. I took a big hit financially, but over time, the company grew. Today, I have a staff of 24 people. We have about 300 students, and we've been creating a lot of content through publishing of books and online courses. And I say this, you know, start off with his story, because a lot of people, one, don't follow their dreams or passions. We work to pay bills. Number two, have a fear of the unknown, which we all experience. And number three, might have a fantastic idea that they're doing for fun, doing in their head. It's something that they've been thinking about, but they never pursue it. And, you know, I have successfully paid myself a salary for the last 5 years from the education business, and we're growing. And so this has allowed me to do other passion projects that I love, like the Morning Goals, which is a business coaching practice. And I always start myself as an example, saying, hey, look, this is something people should consider. And we've had to come to terms with that, especially during COVID.
Ed, that's very impressive. Taking that leap from the corporate world and the comfort of a weekly paycheck, all your corporate benefits, knowing that come hell or high water, that that paycheck is going to be deposited to your bank account every week or every month, to then bite your lip and say, I'm going to give that up and I'm going to have the courage of my convictions and build my own business. Kudos to you. And that's, as you tell your clients your own success, that's got to be inspirational to them. So let's come on to your strategy. You've given us your history of what you've done. So how do you work with clients? What are the first steps to outline the strategy to go from side hustle to startup based on your own experience when you're talking with a new client?
Beautiful. So I always start with this. If you have anyone listening, if you have ever told yourself, I have an idea, I just don't know how to start, or I have so many ideas that I get overwhelmed, you are my primary target as a client. And I say that because I think a lot of people more often than not actually do have ideas and have an entrepreneurial spirit in the background and want to start a business or make go all in a project they're working on. So the way I work with clients is I start from that. Like, what is your passion? So this is sort of that's what we're talking about, strategy. I have experienced some dark times in my life, some deaths that affected me emotionally. And I had come out of that and I said, what makes me happy? So my three things that make me happy are travel, meeting people, and languages. So those are my passions. And till this day, I have those three words written in front of me, even as we're speaking. And I judge business ideas, business projects, investments based on those three words. And if two of those three words can fit into a strategy, then I'm like, okay, that's a great deal. So for everybody who's listening, find your passion, right? So if you are an artist by night, but an accountant by day, and you like art and you know art, you know, pursue that. So always start from something that you know, right? Don't I think a lot of people, we tend to throw money at a problem that we don't have by getting certificates or getting training of something that we don't know. So find your focus on your passion. And ask yourself, what do I know, number one? The second part of it is make a plan. Now, this sounds silly, but a lot of entrepreneurs or people actually who have my personality don't always write out a plan. Your plan is great in your head, but visualizing what you need to do, when you need to do it, and how you need to do it, and then ultimately how much it's all going to cost, will actually save you a lot of time and a lot of money. And the third thing is, don't be afraid to invest in asking for help. I was actually talking with a client recently, and he's doing fantastic, but his marketing strategy and his social media strategy really wasn't or isn't translating into financial goals, mm-hmm. right? And he made a comment that sort of stuck out to me that I think people can relate to. And he said, oh, I'm figuring it out on my own. And that was a red flag that you're figuring it out on your own, but you're probably wasting time. Mm-hmm. You might be able to invest money to ask someone for help, right? So don't be afraid to ask for help. So find your passion, make a plan, and ask for help. A lot of us side hustlers tend to be scared of failure, tend to be afraid of telling our friends and family what we're doing, mm-hmm. because we're either embarrassed of that failure or scared of that failure. And you actually probably have a lot more resources that you didn't realize you had if you don't ask. And we can talk about manifestation and affirmations and all of that that go with verbalizing and seeing what you're doing, either written on paper in the form of a plan, or by telling people and asking for help and how they can help you.
Ed, let's just come back to that point about telling people about your plan, because you put your finger on it. People are terrified of failure, number one. And number two, they're embarrassed in a family context, in a business context, to talk about their dreams, to talk about their ambitions, to talk about what they would like to do differently, especially if you're like you. I worked in the financial services industry for many decades. And while I worked in the financial services industry, it never occurred to me to share with close colleagues, because you have colleagues, but then you have close colleagues. It never occurred to me to share with any close colleagues that that I had dreams and professional dreams that were different from what I did 8 hours a day in my workaday world. And, you know, you're shy, you're embarrassed, you don't want to share that. So how did you get over that? And how do you tell your clients to get over that? Because it sounds like once you do get over that, there can be a huge mine of potential allies and helpers to help you achieve your goal.
Yeah, so I personally overcame that, and this is going to sound like a plug for myself. I hired a coach.
Okay.
So, you know, and so one of the things that I always say is find your cheerleaders. And I actually say that in every single session I do on a regular basis with clients at various stages of their business and their side hustle. Find your cheerleaders, and your cheerleaders might be your immediate family. They might be your best friend. It might be colleagues at work. And so find your cheerleaders. And, you know, the more you say your dream, the more likely it's going to happen. And to be very honest, Jim, fear of failure and this embarrassment is literally something that comes up on a regular basis for clients of all backgrounds, from the school teacher that I work with who's making a side hustle to get income, to a MIT PhD who's doing artificial intelligence. It's the same thing. And what I say is you have to verbalize it. You have to ask for help, and you have to tell people what you're doing. Now, I went to Harvard, arguably the most famous school in the world. And of all of my friends, I say this in speeches on a regular basis, I am probably the poorest of all of my Harvard friends, but I am by far the happiest.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my friends who, you know, have corporate jobs and businesses and things are like, wow, Ed's doing some awesome stuff. I wish I could do that. I'm like, you can do that, and you have more money than I can. Sure you can. So fear is something that I think we all need to work on. Embarrassment, like, you know, I jokingly used to be embarrassing. I was vice president of a hedge fund.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now a Spanish teacher.
Yes.
Right? And then all of a sudden that opens you up to vulnerability of what's happening. You know, oh, wow, you didn't make it, right? Oh, you know, what's happening? Well, that's okay. Work silent. You know, there's some memes on going through the social media that, like, you know, work in silence. But your success will amplify that, you know, what you're doing later.
But to play devil's advocate, yes, you're a Spanish teacher, but you're a Spanish teacher who employs 24 people. You have 300 clients, and you've branched out beyond Spanish. You teach French, Portuguese, yep, and other languages too. So
I'm the best Spanish teacher in the world, Jim.
Well, you see, I'm your cheerleader too.
Right, exactly. And to be honest, you know, and I really think that what we've had to come to terms with, especially during the pandemic, is we've had to face that fear. It's become a survival for a lot of small businesses, people who've gotten laid off. And so I think a lot of us right now is a perfect time to actually work on your side hustle or go in on your business, because we're all in the same boat. You know, a lot of people don't have jobs. A lot of people were laid off. A lot of people are struggling. So that fear factor, we all understand now of things that we need to do. So, you know, going back to your passion, if anyone's listening to this, you know, you and I have podcasts, and I want to touch base on that side hustle and how that sort of how we're using that in different ways. But also, you know, go back, find that passion, and ask yourself, are you happy doing what you're doing? Are you good at what you're doing? You're probably great at it, but it's bringing you the happiness. And I'm a firm believer, back to my three words of travel, meeting people, and learning languages, that if I judge a product or a project on those three words, and I say, yes, it meets my personal happiness measurement of those three words, then money will follow, right? And I think that, you know, we should all kind of think through that. And you know, that brings me up to a very important thing, is financing your side hustle,
right?
Financing your business.
How do you do that?
So I, for those of us who are probably listening, and we're probably all a similar demographic, more or less, chances are you're wasting a lot of money on things you don't need to, and you're prioritizing other things that you don't need or should. And there's a statistic, and I don't know the exact numbers, but most people who maintain jobs during the pandemic actually saved more money than if they were going to the office. Right, because they were eating at home, they're actually paying off bills and credit card bills and things like that. That's a sign of waste. A lot of us waste money eating out and spending, you know, parking and all this stuff. So what I tell people is one, figure out how much money you need to do your business. Two, you might already have that much money, and to bootstrap the business. But one of the biggest mistakes that I did in my business was I wanted to bootstrap the business. So bootstrapping, right, is financing your own business with your own money,
mm-hmm.
or organically growing it with the sales that you achieve. So one, you can bootstrap it. I bootstrapped my first company, and I look back at that experience, and because of fear, I didn't take on outside investors. And so I also work with clients to help them understand what that looks like. And what are the benefits and pros and cons of taking on outside investors. And so, you know, I would say bootstrapping is great, fantastic. You're your own boss. You're in charge of your own growth. You might, through sales, you can reinvest in yourself. That's what I did on my first business. But now, as I'm almost 40, use other people's money.
So, OPM, as it's known. Other people's
OPM,
money.
Yes.
Well, Ed, just to summarize at this point, number one, our listeners out there, they're starting with a concept. They have a concept, and maybe that concept has already become a side hustle. Number two, they need to have a plan. Number three, they need to tell close, trusted confidants about their business, about their ambitions, about their vision for the future. Number four, those people and others then become cheerleaders. Number five, we're at the financing part of it now. So I'm enumerating five steps so far. So please proceed.
Yeah. So I want to touch a little bit more on the financing part, because that scares a lot of people. A lot of times, right, I think that, you know, we have the marketing side of things. The cool thing about what we're living through right now is that for a minimum amount of investment, you can either have basically low-cost marketing through social media like Facebook, like Instagram, like TikTok, but understand what that means and how that converts into clients and into money. Two, podcasting is a great way to give yourself a voice, to create an audience, to curate an audience, find people. And those, I consider those as low cost options. The third part about it is buying advertisements and Google ads, Facebook ads. You know, some people still do print ads, and there's ad agencies out there. So understanding like that investment is important in the process. And I would say the last step of all of this, is at some point you have to make a decision to lean in 100% on this side business. So I, back to my story, when I hit 100 clients at my language company, I thought to, I took a step back and I asked myself, am I servicing the client appropriately by this continuing to be a part-time job, right? And the answer to that question was, I'm not supporting my teachers and I'm not supporting the client. And it was literally, I remember I pulled the report and it was at the number, know your numbers. And at some point you have to decide whether this is going to be a lifestyle business where you're going to make, keep it on cruise control and make money here and there, or if you're going to go all in. And you get to that point by being consistent, plugging away. You and I have been plugging away in our podcast, you longer than I have, producing the show, once a week, twice a week, or every other week on a regular basis for X amount of time. And then that's going to show you your results. So for everybody out there, I think I would say after the financing and marketing and things like that, the most important is consistency. And I work with clients who pay me when they're excited and disappear when they need me the most. and so I actually, in my contract for the morning goals with clients, one of the commitments the clients give, I tell them is, you're going to call me on your worst day, because that's when you need the cheerleader the most, right? And that's going to, and the more we can plow through this, you will be more successful. You may not see the results right away. It might be stressful. You might not see the financial results right away, but but you will continue your process and your growth.
Talk to me about Morning Goals, your second company, which is your coaching company, because I'm sure many of our listeners have never hired a coach before. So talk to me about that and kind of peel away the mystique from that so that our listeners figure this is something that anybody can do. It's normal to have a coach.
So get a coach, guys. Get a coach, ladies. So coaching, the whole way, we're not therapy. I'm not a therapist. The Morning Goals was founded on the principles of accountability, productivity, and then growth. And that's what I do. I work on making sure that I'm holding you accountable to me, but also to yourself, based on things that you want to accomplish either on your business or for yourself. And then we figure out how we can, if there's, issues with productivity or follow through or commitment, and how that affects those goals, right? So my job is, I don't worry about your past. I take you from right now, and we have a view towards the future. And that's what most coaches focus on, is how we get you from now into the future and not really worry about the past. Now, coaching, the Morning Goals operates is, we do a discovery call for about 30 minutes to an hour. It's free. And we just chat, similar to what you basically, you're discovery calling me, Jim, as my teacher coach. And it's a casual conversation to understand, what you want with your business primarily, or in life. Then from there, we create an action plan. So by the end of the discovery call, I will give you an action plan based on the goals that I've heard you say. But I also then flag things that you said that you might not have heard yourself say. And then we go from there, and we can meet weekly or biweekly. It takes about 3 months to 6 months of consistency to see most of these projects through, and then we reassess generally on a monthly basis, actually. Now, I tell everybody, again, back to myself, when I hired my coach, who's way more expensive than I am, I said, Jen, you're a publishing coach. Mm-hmm. I want to publish books. And the first question she asked me was the most important. She goes, Ed, do you write? Mm-hmm. And I said, I've never thought about that question. Right. And so I say that because I worked with her for a year, and I've published 6 different books and launched 2 different series. And part of it was holding myself accountable with somebody else. And so ask yourself, the things that you want to do, our job as coaches is to break down your dreams into action items and tangible steps to get you moving into that direction. First, if you, Jim, want to become a professional basketball player, that's fine. First question I'm going to ask you is, do you play basketball? And if you say no, then we need to hire you a personal coach to train you to do that. Now, that's a silly example, but, you know, it, a lot of people are dreamers, and they haven't actually started working on that dream yet. So I work with clients to help them put them on a path in that direction.
Now, Ed, in the remaining time that we have, please share with our listeners your podcast. And there are many listeners who, when they start a podcast, they view their podcast as being potentially a business. So tell us why you created your podcast, and is your podcast, are you using it as a business? And just let's talk your podcast.
Yeah, that's awesome. So the podcast, so when you start a business of any kind, there has to be a mission and a purpose. The Morning Goals is my mission to help people be accountable, productive, and for their future growth. As I was starting that, I realized that back to my mantra of travel, languages, and beating people was I wanted to offer something for free to people that we could amplify what they're doing. And part of this, I was struggling to figure out, like, what could I do for free that's not just a five-day challenge? Mm-hmm. And so we started with a co-host of mine, Vince Schmidt from a life brand called Wasted 20s, a collaboration, and our podcast is called The Future Breakup. Mm-hmm. And part of The Future Breakup's mission is to share people's story, not famous people's stories, but your average hardworking individual's story, because everybody has a story, number one. And mm-hmm. number two, the one question we ask all of our guests is, what did you have to do to break up? What did you have to break up with in life to move ahead, whether that's a person, place, or a thing? And over again, if we go back to the side hustle to business, when we ask that question, it's always the failure that they have to break, some sort of failure, some sort of struggle, some sort of negativity that held them back. Mm. And I think anybody back to that side hustle can relate to some of these stories, because we've always, every single one of us, 100% of us have experienced something that's held us back, whether it's ourselves, whether it's family members. And once we sort of acknowledge that, figure out a way to move past it, then you have, the world ahead of you to do amazing and great things. So the way I use my podcast, The Future Breakup, you guys can go to thefuturebreakup.com, is just to give potential clients a glimpse into me and my personality and how I work and talk to clients. And two, a way for us to amplify people and their stories, their businesses, their projects, and even their side hustles. Now, so I don't make money from it. I use it to sort of amplify what I'm doing for the business. Now, you can monetize your podcast through advertisements, through selling merchandise, through getting paid guests. There's many ways to make money off of a podcast. I use it to try to drive people from a listener to the website, but also then as quote unquote reference points, reference testimonials.
Again, I think one of the takeaways from this conversation today, and hopefully this is the first of many conversations that you and I and our listeners will have, you think very strategically. And you've created your podcast with the strategy in mind of driving listeners to your business. And driving listeners to your business by sharing with them who you are, what your challenges are, what your breakup failures may have been, how you overcame that. So it's the message that I'm taking from this conversation today is one of you have a very strategic approach in working with clients. And tell me, where can my listeners contact you with any follow-up questions, either on the language courses, Morning Goals, or the podcast? How do they contact you?
Sure. So I would, reach out, guys. Don't be afraid. You can find me at edward@themorninggoals.com. Visit our website, themorninggoals.com, or on Instagram, themorninggoals. And I'm a friendly guy, friendly voice, and would love to hear from everybody.
I want to thank our guest, Ed Rocha, for sharing his business strategies for creating your company out of your part-time side hustle or even hobby. And again, his website is www.themorninggoals.com. And listeners, please take a moment to visit our website, www.thesanfranciscoexperiencepodcast.com, to subscribe to the podcast. It's free to do so, and it ensures that all future episodes come directly to your inbox. You can also follow my blog, listen to previous episodes, send me an email, or peruse my book, all on my website. And once again, Ed, thank you so much for joining us today. Some meaty concepts, and I look forward to inviting you back on the San Francisco Experience. This has been the San Francisco Experience with your host, Jim Herlihy, reporting from America's favorite city, San Francisco.